Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Local history from two angles on today's program. We'll talk about St. Louis's vanishing history in just a couple of moments and explain after we look at history yet to be made. For almost all of the last century, Missouri was a reliable political bellwether. It voted with every presidential winner from 1904 through 2004, with the exception of 1956. That year, it voted for Adlai Stevenson of Illinois. In 2008 and 12, Missouri voters also got it wrong. Its bellwether status ended. But what about 2016? What will the state's role be? With me to talk about it, our political reporter Joe Manis of St. Louis Public Radio, political scientist Dave Robertson from the University of Missouri-St. Louis, and Ken Warren from St. Louis University. Thanks all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Hello, Dan.
Yeah, thank you.
Joe, I'd like to start with you. Is it overstating the case, do you think, to say that Missouri used to be a more important player in presidential elections than it is and has become?
No, it's not overstating the case. But a lot of it depends on what goes on in some other states. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. If you go back to 2000, if Missouri just barely went for George W. Bush, If Missouri had gone for Al Gore, which I was at the Post-Dispatch then, and our polls were showing that till less than a week before, Al Gore would not have needed Florida. The recount, who would have cared? And so it just goes to show that little things can make a big difference. But it's not overstating. Missouri's lost one electoral vote. We're considered more Republican-leaning. So, yeah, our status has changed.
Dave, what's your take?
I think in 2016, if there is a lot of competition for Missouri, the Republicans in trouble, because this is a state that now leans Republican in presidential elections. In the last election, hardly any money was spent here for advertising compared to other states. And that's likely to continue unless things are going badly for the Republican and that candidate is not doing well and giving up in some important states.
Well, if all the Republican candidates show up for the primary or before the primary, the state's going to tilt literally. Ken Warren, what's your take on this?
Well, since Kerry withdrew in October of 2004 from the presidential race, it really has not been in play that much. In 2008, of course, it was, but it certainly showed it wasn't a bellwether, Don, because the rest of the nation was going for Obama, and yet Missouri went against Obama by only 0.13 percent of the total vote, though. But nonetheless, it was shifting away from the trend. And as you said in the intro, Missouri was the best bellwether during the 20th century, and all of a sudden it's changed, and it apparently has gone red. I have second thoughts about it going red, though. I think that it could go for Hillary Clinton in 2016, assuming that she wins the nomination.
Did Obama even campaign here in 8 and 12?
Yes, he did in 8. He did not in 12. Yeah. He wrote it off. Romney won by almost 10%. And actually, there was a 13.3% gap between what Obama won by nationwide and what Obama lost by in Missouri.
Joe, you will buy into Ken's argument that Hillary Clinton could win here?
It's possible. It depends who the Republicans nominate. If you look at 2012, while Romney won handily, really big, I mean, basically there was about 400,000 people in the state who voted for Mitt Romney and who voted for Claire McCaskill. Mm-hmm. Now, they did so because, the shift. Now, this is the shift because she beat Todd Akin by roughly, close to 15 percentage points. Mm-hmm. But my point being is that you had that many people who were comfortable enough to vote for a Democrat if they decided that the Republican they just couldn't agree with. Now, granted, there was this whole flurry over the legitimate rape thing, but my point being is that there is the potential there, and the Democrats see it possible. It's, they're hedging their bets, but the point is, depending on the Republican, I think Dr. Warren is right. Hillary could win.
Well, she's only behind by 3 and 4 percentage points, according to insider polls I've been told about. So that's pretty good coming into it.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you're just nodding in affirmation.
I think she would be more competitive than Obama in this state. She and her husband are pretty good at campaigning in Mid-South states and should be appealing in parts of Missouri. They won more counties in Missouri than Obama did or Kerry did. So Things have changed since the 1990s, but I agree with Ken and Joe that she has a chance to win this. I think it's uphill.
And of course, she's just been here, which is interesting right. in and of itself. I guess taking advantage of if you will, the Ferguson fallout. Do you see it that way?
I think that's part of it. Part of it is addressing a national issue that has been on our agenda since Ferguson. That's part of it. And every candidate who comes to Missouri is also looking for campaign funds.
Go ahead,
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah, I mean, Romney and Obama were here in 2011 and 2012. It's just the average person didn't see him. Right. Only if you're a rich person and right. were at one of the fundraisers did right. you see him, because they were here. They did raise money. But and it was a very different thing from 2008, where Obama was here a lot. I mean, I interviewed him several times, and he was all over the place in public events.
Right.
So I think, I mean, Hillary meshed this visit in Florissant with a big fundraiser at Grant's Farm.
Right.
And so it made a perfect opportunity for her to take advantage of the whole Charleston, Ferguson unrest to address some of those issues, but at the same time to raise money. And that's mm-hmm. what you might see. I think we will see a lot of the Republicans coming here to raise money over the next year, a lot of that.
Ken Warren, what about a lot of people coming here just to do what Hillary did in part, and that is take advantage of Ferguson and using it as an opportunity to speak out against racial injustice?
Well, no question about it, and I think the reason she came here also is because she sees that Missouri is in play. Yeah. I just finished a book chapter for book on swing state politics to be published next month, and I really examined what has happened in Missouri. We were asked to, you know, essentially find out why it went from a bellwether state to being apparently a red state, given what Romney won by. If you really look at the candidates, though, since 2000, they were bad fits for Missouri, very bad fits for Missouri. Al Gore, particularly John Kerry, very elitist, northeastern, liberal, had the highest liberal voting record in National Journal ratings. And then you had a black candidate that, frankly, did not fit very well in Missouri. Now, Hillary can play on that, but I've looked into racist voting in Missouri nationally as well as in Missouri. Political scientists find that it's about 5.5 to 6% of the total vote when you only lose by 0.13% in 2008. In my opinion, that accounted for Obama's loss. But the point is that I saw three candidates in a row, Gore, Kerry and Obama not being a good fit. When you go back to Bill Clinton, you know, you look at the I have a map here which your listeners can't see, but you can see on the map the how many counties, rural counties, Bill Clinton carried in both 1992 and 1996. And then you see Gore, Kerry and Obama hardly carrying any rural counties.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got a Democratic governor. The power base in both ends of the state, east and west, is Democratic. The rural part of the state is carrying the day, apparently, at least in the last decade or so.
Well, keep in mind the suburban vote, which is probably right. half the vote in the state.
Yeah.
And that's a vote that tilts Republican, too, when you take all the suburbs into account. Mm-hmm. Sure, there are some inner suburbs, sort of central corridor, Clayton, Kirkwood, Webster, where there are moderate Republicans who have voted for more Democratic candidates, like some of the Republicans in New England. But for a lot of suburban voters, it's really the Republican Party that stands out for them.
Yeah, which is why they make the difference. Again, if you look at 2012, you see that huge swing. Now, people don't track where those several hundred thousand came from who switched from Romney to mm-hmm. McCaskill, but I suspect that a heck of a lot of them were in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, So there may have been a lot of women. Again, you don't know for sure, mm-hmm. but Missouri has a high percentage of older women, especially in rural Missouri. Missouri's demographics are slightly older than the mm-hmm. national average. And so there's a lot of things that both parties are paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a possibility.
The demographic issue is a very important one for explaining why Missouri mm-hmm. is no longer a bellwether state. You know, back 30 years ago, we were very much like the United States as a whole. But the United States growth patterns have changed. We're lagging behind in Latino voters for a good deal of time. Now we're way behind a number of states. That's not a population that's evenly dispersed across the states, so that in a state like Missouri, we're almost more like Alabama in terms of the effect of the Latino vote on our elections.
Ken, you and I have had this conversation before, going back a good many years. At one point, Missouri was the perfect microcosm for the country.
Yeah, and Dave is absolutely right. The rest of the country has changed, and most of the states have changed, but not Missouri. And that's what makes it different. Missouri has the same demographics, basically, as it has before, but it doesn't have any significant increase of Hispanics. And then in the nation, that's, we're like 17% Hispanics.
Right.
And,
right.
Florida, by the way. Florida has gone from 80% white vote in 2000 to 71% white vote in 2012, projected 67% white vote in 2016. That is why Florida and so many other states like New Mexico and Nevada, Arizona, these states are starting to become, Colorado, becoming more Hispanic, more minority, and more likely to vote Democrat. But not Missouri. Missouri's Republican base has increased and increased and increased by over three times, I measured, since 1996 to 2012. Over three times, like 66% increase for Republican voters or people voting Republican versus only 19-point-something% for Democrats.
I'm convinced that in 2008, just a little bit higher percentage of Latinos in the population made a difference. Indiana went for Barack Obama with probably twice the percentage of the Latino population that Missouri has. Still a tiny amount, but I think enough votes to carry the state for Obama.
And Joe, in not too many years, whites are going to be the largest minority in this country.
Yes, I think that in Missouri, like the gentleman have mentioned, Missouri is kind of stayed the same, and everybody else is kind of changing. Mm-hmm. But that's going to change, too. Frankly, I've had some Republican operatives in the state who've told me privately that they see this, and it's not just the age demographics. It's also what people think about, what increasingly in their internal polls they're finding that people under 40, especially under 35.
Yes. The millennials.
And these are Republicans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't. What one told me a couple weeks ago, he said they don't care about the social issues. They're not upset about gay marriage. I'm talking about him. They're not. They think we've gone too far on some of this abortion stuff. And he said they're more fiscal conservatives. Mm-hmm. They're more, and basically, in fact, they're more probably libertarians. They're more interested in maybe doing away with some of the drug sentencing. And so his contention was that if the party doesn't change, he was talking about Missouri particularly. He said, you go up 10, 20 years, he said, we're going to be in bad shape.
That's Joe Menas, St. Louis Public Radio political reporter. She's with me in studio, as are Dave Robertson from the University of Missouri, St. Louis, political scientist there. Also political scientist Ken Warren from St. Louis University with me in studio. We're talking about Missouri's role in presidential politics in the past and in the present and in the future, if you will. We'll take this break now and continue the conversation when we come back. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. Or if you would prefer to send us a tweet, do so at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation on Missouri presidential politics, past, present, and future in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Illinois is beginning the fiscal year without a budget, and Governor Bruce Rauner is borrowing $454 million from special state funds to manage the state's cash flow. The money is coming from more than two dozen funds, including an account for school infrastructure and one used to help people pay utility bills. The competition to become Missouri's next lieutenant governor is growing. Republican Bev Randles and Democratic State Representative Tommy Pearson announced this week they are running for the office in 2016. They join Democratic doctor and attorney Brad Bradshaw of Springfield. Bradshaw announced his candidacy in May. And a new rule that redefines navigable waterways in the U.S. is being challenged in federal court by Missouri and several other states. Attorney General Chris Koster filed suit this week. He says the new definition goes too far because it would include streams that only flow during rainstorms and channels that are dry most of the time, thus regulating land use and threatening farmers and ranchers. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation about Missouri politics with Joe Manis of St. Louis Public Radio, Ken Warren of St. Louis University, and Dave Robertson of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Ken, let me turn to you to follow up on what Joe was saying a moment ago about the millennials. There are 80,000 millennials out there, and we've heard from Joe what their tendencies are. Do they vote, and are they going to be the big factor in this election?
No, I actually don't think so. I think that the big factor in Missouri, of all the variables you can look at, is the evangelical vote. When I looked at 11 battleground states, I noticed that Missouri stood out as having the most for the most evangelical voters in both the 2008 and 2012 presidential elections. They averaged 38% evangelicals. And as you know, 70-something percent of evangelicals vote Republican. Now, Karl Rove did a pretty good job organizing, starting in 2002, off your election, but starting to organize evangelicals. And that's one of the reasons I think the rural vote has become so much larger, because the Republicans are really turning out a large vote, many of them in the rural areas, and many of them evangelicals.
I wonder if recent Supreme Court rulings are going to fire up that Republican and evangelical base.
Or it may discourage some. It's hard to tell. That's one of the things to remember about talking about the 2016 election now.
Yeah. Right.
It's a year and a half away. Look at how much has changed in a week and a half. You know, so much is going to change that affects millennials, evangelicals, and every other voting group you can think of. We can't even predict what the effects are going to be.
Yeah, we lose sight of that fact because the campaign gets started so early. We're hearing so much about it. It almost makes you think it's right around the corner, but yeah, it is anything but.
Yeah, and campaigns and who's ahead and all these issues can turn on a dime.
I mean,
that's the whole thing. Just what happened with the court rulings last week changed the conversation, like, overnight. All of a sudden, it's, you know, well, Obamacare, it's going to be a little more difficult if you want to get rid of it. Yeah. You've got the governor saying he's going to try again on Medicaid expansion, whether or not that becomes an issue or not, if you've got more hospitals that are closing by then. And granted, that's not at the top of the ticket, presidential, but some of that stuff can affect things. I mean, you do have a back and forth.
You mentioned the governor, and Joe, you and I have had this conversation. You know what's coming, right?
Yeah.
There had been talk, and I don't hear much of it lately. There had been talk about Governor Jane Nixon being a potential vice presidential candidate, perhaps on a Hillary Clinton ticket. What are you hearing in that regard?
Nothing. basically.
Not since Ferguson.
Yeah. And frankly, I mean, I admit, I've been one of those who last spring and last summer were saying, he's obviously on the list. But Ferguson, fair or unfair, changed it. The way he reacted, the way he talked. Again, I'm not saying it was fair, but it's a fact.
Right.
And
I agree.
And so his best hope is that possibly he might end up with some sort of cabinet post, maybe. But even then, I think that's why you're just not hearing that much talk about it. And I thought it was interesting that he wasn't. I mean, you know, when Clinton did her thing in Florissant, there was a few state legislators there, but they didn't have any statewides there, and Nixon wasn't there.
She didn't get together in a closed session with Jay Nixon.
No.
Let's take a call. Speaking of the Clintons, Bob will join us from St. Louis. Bob, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I listen to what you say about the evangelicals and the others out state. But I sense a strong movement, if Hillary's the nominee, for Ms. Clinton, outstate. I think the work will be going strongly. The the people in charge are really knowledgeable. They know what to do. I see St. Louis, Kansas City really heavily for her. But there's going to be enough votes out state moving towards her like they did in 2008, even though it was against Obama in the primary. But I see that movement that she could win this state by, I'd say, 3 or 4%, knowing how the people are handling it.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call.
Well, actually, I agree with the caller. That's my theory, too. I think that, I mean, Hillary's not Bill, but Bill did awfully well in rural Missouri, and as well as, of course, in the urban areas, and was able to win Missouri twice easily. You know, Hillary's from Illinois and Arkansas. I mean, I think that helps, and she's a moderate. She's not, you know, a John Kerry. She's not Barack Obama. I think that she will play well in Missouri. And also, don't forget the female vote.
Yes.
You know? Don't forget the
female.
Exactly.
Right.
Because, you know, females would like to see them voting for the first female president of the United States.
And, right. and Hillary Clinton is emphasizing that more than she did in 2008, the historical nature.
But you're not suggesting that the female vote is a monolithic vote.
No. Of course not.
No.
Of course not. There's going to be a lot of women who vote against her. But my point is, if you just look at the 2012 numbers, again, the McCaskill-Romney comparison, I think it's I really suspect that a number of the shift, the people who voted for one person for one office and then voted for McCaskill, were women. So I think, it depends on who the Republican nominee is. If it's Jeb Bush, it's one thing. If it's Ted Cruz or... it could be Rand Paul. It could be it's another.
Right. I think two things could weigh down Hillary Clinton run in Missouri. One is the question of whether or not blacks will turn out in large numbers for Hillary Clinton as opposed to Barack Obama. And the whole question of mobilizing black voters, millennial voters, it's an open question. Obama had some success in doing that. We'll see if Hillary Clinton can carry that forward. The other thing is that after a party has been in the presidency for two terms, usually there's a little drag on the party's momentum and the party candidate momentum going into the third election. And that's affected some elections in the past. It's likely to affect it in the future.
Yeah, it certainly affected Gore in 2000, didn't it?
Well, and it could affect, we could do a whole show on Al Gore. I mean, the missteps, the missteps he made as far as strategic things, in my view, just strategic. But I think that international events may play a role in some of this. And the Republicans have already been, attacking hard on the Clintons, either their finances or their character or different things. The Democrats have been doing some of that on, but there's so many Republicans. In fact, it's the largest group, from what I've read, since 1952 of announced Republican candidates for president.
You guys are giving the nomination to Hillary Clinton, as many people are. But poor Bernie Sanders is out there, and actually he's not doing that badly.
Yeah, no.
Well, it's still like 57, something in the teens.
It's pretty high.
But I think, though, he is influencing the debate. And, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Howard Dean that way. I mean, it influences the debate. And of course, things can... You've got the Connecticut Governor O'Malley, who's also campaigning. But, I mean, right now, I mean, she's in the lead.
Sure.
But, again, what is this? I mean, this is June 2015.
Yeah, but she really has the money, really has the organization, and Americans aren't going to vote for a socialist either. I mean, really... when push comes to shove, I think that he adds a lot to the debate, but I don't think that he's a serious candidate. I think really Clinton is, of course, you know, we said this in 2007, and then Barack Obama comes up closing fast and wins it.
Oh, yeah. If you go back 1991, right after the, the Iraq War, even early 92, who thought that George H.W. Bush had any chance of being defeated.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, and then you just never know.
Which tells you that a recession can make a big difference in this election.
Or a third-party candidate. I mean, Ross Perot, right. I mean, Bill Clinton won in 92, but he didn't get a majority of the vote, and that included in Missouri. He didn't get a majority of the vote in Missouri in 96 either, because Ross Perot was on the ballot again.
We have a tweet here from Maria Chappelle Nadal, whom we all know and hear much from. Will the absence of candidates accepting and uttering the words Black Lives Matter impact voter turnout among blacks in St. Louis?
I think it depends. I think it depends on a lot of things. I mean, I think that Professor Robertson brought up a big deal. Does the Democrats, are they able to energize the African-American vote? But it's also who the Republican nominee is. I mean, if they decide that the Republican nominee is so distasteful, that could affect things too.
And remember when Hillary Clinton was here and she said all lives matter, and that was roundly criticized because it wasn't more specific.
Well, actually, to be fair, because I covered that, she was talking about what her mother told her. Mm-hmm. She said that my mother said that all lives matter. Yeah. Now, I'm not apologizing, but I'm just saying, you know, it's not quite.
That's why you're here, and that's why we love you, Joe. Let's take another call. Jay joins us from Normandy. Jay, thanks for holding on. Go ahead.
Yeah, first of all lives do matter, for sure. All right, my two questions are on the Pope's statement about the environment and climate change. Do you think that's going to have any effect on Missouri religious folks in an election? And also, has the Republican Party so far gotten on board with the NRA and all these now, these tragic shootings we're seeing all the time? Do you think that might have shown that the Republicans, at least in the state, have overplayed the gun thing? Thanks.
Well, first of all, the greatest determinant of vote choice is partisanship. And we like to talk about issues and how much they make a difference in political campaigns, but they actually don't make anywhere near the difference that partisanship and even image make. Issues play a role, and they might determine who wins or loses, because presidential elections are won by, you know, 3 or 4% or even less. But when you talk about, you know, what this gentleman was just talking about, specific issues, environmental issues, they will play a minor role in the campaign.
I don't think climate change will change many people's votes. It may have an impact on Latino Catholics, because a lot of Latinos live in areas that are affected by drought, by fire, and they may feel the Pope's call for both climate protection and social justice, which is part of that message too, to be something that speaks to them personally. So that may have a little bit of an impact.
So you're suggesting that even more Latinos and Hispanics would vote Democrat.
Well, that doesn't mean that the Pope is endorsing the Democratic candidate.
No, but he's endorsing a Democratic issue.
Yeah, I think he is putting the emphasis on an issue that matters. It's a high priority for Democrats compared to Republicans. You're right.
Joe, you want to get in on that? I'm going to have to wrap this up in a moment, but if there's anything you want to add.
Well, I think it also affects, again, you know, how young people. I think young people, depends on whether or not they turn out, but I think they could have an impact. And climate change is one of those issues that does resonate more with them.
The young people get it, and a lot of us older folks sometimes don't. But Joe Manis, thank you once again for being with us. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Dave Robertson, thank you for being with us.
It's
been a lot of fun. Ken Warren, good to see you again. Thank you for being with
us.
Good to be here. We'll do it again, probably before now, in November of 2016. I hope we do. Coming up, parts of St. Louis are vanishing. We'll explain in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.